Good evening.
Good evening.
If you will, please turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to be picking up with verse 31. Let's just start in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of it, and we thank you for the day that we saw Jesus for who he was, your son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just praise you and thank you for him. And I just pray that you'll be with me and give me the words you'd have me to say. And if anybody has not realized who Jesus was, is not looking forward to that day, his day, I pray that tonight will be the night where they give their life to Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Okay, John chapter 8, verse 31. We're going to go through the rest of the chapter, go back through the verses one by one briefly, and then there's one verse that kind of stuck out to me that I'd like to spend a little extra time on. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Okay, if you'll go back and look at verse 31, we're just going to make a few comments about each verse. Here Jesus is confronting the religious leaders. It says in the first one, that first verse here that we're going over, that there were some that believed him. It may be an initial belief. It may not be a permanent belief. It may be one where they're just agreeing in their mind but hasn't got to their heart yet. And then also he was speaking, it was probably, we don't know how many people, but there were some Jewish religious leaders there that were out to get Jesus, as we see through that. And we see here that Jesus did not back up, but he confronted these religious leaders and told them the truth. I think about today, in today's society, a lot of times you watch the news on one channel and then another channel, and they're saying complete opposite things. You don't know what truth is. But we know, thank the Lord, that Jesus Christ is the truth, and we can trust him. So in verse 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. True disciples abide in Christ. They are not saved by abiding in his word, but they abide in his word because they are saved. So one way that you can, one of the fruits or one of the ways that you can tell if someone's a true believer is if they abide in his word. They read his word. They try to follow him. We're not going to be perfect, but our practice is we're going to want to follow him because we love him and because we want to obey what he's told us to do. And also, true believers have permanence. They stick with the Lord. They're not wishy-washy back and forth. They don't leave. They stay. Now, someone may have a maybe backslide and then come back. We know about Peter and his denial, but for the majority of your life, and as you can see, try to observe if someone's a true believer. Do they have permanence? Do they stick with the Lord? Are they faithful to the meeting? So that's a way you can tell that they abide in his word and they're true believers. That's what he means when he says disciples indeed. These are the ones that it's gone to the heart. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. True believers know the truth about Jesus and are free from sin. So if you know Jesus, then you're no longer in bondage to sin. You have that freedom. We will still make mistakes, we'll still sin, but we won't practice sin. Jesus has paid for that sin that we've done in the past, in the present, in the future, and we can trust him that he has delivered us his truth because he's true, and we know he's the truth. He sets us free. Verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Religious leaders claim that since they were Abraham's descendants, which was true, physically they were, they had never been in bondage to anyone. This, of course, was not true. They had been in bondage to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and now Rome. But Jesus was saying a lot of times when he was speaking, they took him in a literal physical sense, and majority of the time he was speaking in a spiritual sense. And he was saying that they were spiritually in bondage to sin and to Satan. So they misunderstood again. They're not understanding what he's trying to tell them. One thing is they don't want to understand. The leaders here are prideful. They want their positions. They don't want someone that's coming in and telling them, you're a sinner. You need to be forgiven and to be saved. They didn't want to hear that. That's not the type of Messiah that they were looking for. And we'll see that their father was not Abraham spiritually, but the devil. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Okay, we know that we all commit sin, so that it's not exactly in the Greek, it's talking about a practice of sin, that you're just constantly sinning and repeating the same sin over and over, and you can't help it. That's someone who is not saved, and they're just living a life of sin. These religious leaders pretended to be very religious, but they were dishonest, they were irreverent, and soon to be murderers. They were planning to murder the Son of God. They were irreverent to God because they were irreverent to Jesus, who was the Son of God, who is God in the flesh. They were dishonest because they said that their father was God, the Father. Their father was Abraham spiritually, but we know that those were lies. Their father was the devil. Verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. These Jews were slaves and could be put out at any time. An example that I thought of or read when I was studying is the example of Ishmael. When Abraham and Sarah made the mistake, they didn't wait on God. They used their slave, Hagar, to have a child with Abraham. They bypassed God's will. They didn't want to wait. And because Hagar was a slave, Ishmael was the son of a slave, we know that later on that they were put out. They were not of the house. But the true son, Isaac, the son of promise, Isaac, he was permanent. He was there in the house. So that's the difference in a son and a slave. The slave can be put out at any time, but the son is there. I think about the prodigal son, and he left on his own, but the father was there waiting for him to come back and rejoicing when his son came back and he welcomed him back home. Verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If you want freedom from sin, it comes from trusting in the finished work of the Son. The Son equals freedom. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Son, then you have freedom. If you're practicing sin, if you're a slave to sin, then you're in bondage. So the Son, if you have the Son, you're free. If you're practicing sin and caught up in just a life of sin, then you're in bondage. Verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Physically, they were Abraham's sons, but spiritually, they were not because they were trying to kill him. We know if they were Abraham's spiritual descendants, that they would have faith in Christ, just like Abraham had faith, and it was credited to him for righteousness. If these religious leaders were true descendants of Abraham spiritually, then they would have accepted Jesus Christ, but they did not. So they were not true spiritual descendants. Verse 38. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Jesus did and taught exactly what God the Father wanted him to do and teach. The religious leaders were also doing what their Father wanted them to do. So God was telling Jesus, they were in perfect unity. Just thinking about, we can't have that on earth, but just thinking about having someone that you're in such unity with, Father, Son, mother, daughter, husband, wife, you're in such unity that the son or the daughter or whatever the case is will do exactly what you want them to do. They mirror the father, they mirror the mother and do exactly, you can recognize them. That they have the traits of the father, the traits of the mother. You can say that they're the spitting image of them. That's what Jesus was. He was a spitting image of his father. He did exactly what his father wanted him to do. The Jews thought that they were sons of Abraham, and later they'll say that we're the sons of God. But they were deceived. They were not. They were doing what their father wanted them to do, but they were following their father, the devil. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. They went back to claiming that Abraham was their father, but Jesus said they were not Abraham's spiritual children because they did not do the works of Abraham, believing God and trusting Him. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. The religious leaders heard the truth from Jesus and rejected His teaching and tried to kill Him. Abraham heard the word of God and accepted it and obeyed it. And I was thinking about this, and we'll go into this a little bit, but we all know what God asked Abraham to do. And it says the next morning he got up early to go and sacrifice his son. And so we see him that he had faith in God and he obeyed God. He trusted Him. And these people were face to face, these Jewish religious leaders were face to face with the Son of God, and they were totally against Him. They were disparaging Him, plotting to kill Him. So we know that these Jewish leaders were not spiritual sons of Abraham, not sons of God. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus repeated that they did the deeds of the devil. They said they only served the one true Father, God. Some commentators believe that they were disparaging Jesus here, that they probably knew the story of His birth and that Mary, His mother, was not married at the time that He was conceived. We know that He was conceived with the Holy Spirit, but they may have been doing that. Others believe that they were just saying that we don't serve like the Canaanites and the other people. We don't have a bunch of different gods. We only focus on God the Father. That's what their mind was telling them, that they thought that they were following God, but they were doing direct opposite of what God wanted them to do. So they were not obviously following God the Father. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Jesus told them, if God were their Father, then they would have accepted Him because He came from God and was sent by God. Jesus lived, and there were several examples, but this whole book of John is written so that people will know that Jesus is the Son of God. That was the purpose in John's writing it, so people would know who Jesus was and they would accept Him as their Savior. So they had, in the first seven chapters we went over, we had many miracles that I'm sure that these, if they weren't there direct eyewitnesses, they heard about the miracles. They heard His teaching. They saw His life was a perfect life. They rejected all this. They didn't want to hear that they were sinners. They didn't want to upset the apple cart. They liked their position of being in power, being in control. Jesus coming in and telling the people, they're just like whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're evil. They didn't want to hear that. That was the opposite of what they wanted to hear. So they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They did not want to follow Him. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. Jesus was telling them they couldn't even understand His speech, i.e., some examples are bread and water. He was talking about His body. If you eat of me, if you take me in, then you will live forever. If you drink this water, I am the living water. If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Spiritually, He was saying that if you take me in, if you accept me, that I will quench the thirst that every person that's ever born's had. They have this thirst for something. They have this hole in their heart, and Jesus is the one that can fill it. They could not even understand His speech. They were talking about, what are you talking about? Eat your eat the bread? How can you be bread? How can you be water? They were talking fleshly, physical, and he was talking spiritual. And we know his ways are not our ways above that, but Jesus was telling them, try to explain to them that you can't even understand simple speech because you're so physical, so fleshly, not spiritual. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus says that they are doing the desires of their father, the devil. I think about the beginning when Satan, as a snake, tempted Eve. Did God really say, made him doubt God's instructions not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Said, did he really say? They started questioning that. It looks good. And he tempted them, and they did that. So he started off lying about what God was saying. He used Herod to kill all the babies 2 years and younger in and around Bethlehem. So he was a murderer. Now these religious leaders were lying, saying, they said that God is our father, Abraham is our spiritual father. They were lying. They had God right in front of them, and they were trying to murder him, trying to kill him. So we know that their father, even though it seems harsh, their father was the devil. And it doesn't mean that they accepted the devil as their savior or anything crazy like that. It just means that their behavior followed Satan. He lied, they lied. He was a murderer, they were murderers. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. The truth was speaking to them, but they did not believe him. He was right there telling the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. They had the truth right there in front of them, and he was speaking to them, telling them who he was, and they rejected him. They did not believe. Verse 46, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus is the only person to ever live that can make that statement. Who is he that can convict me of sin? He had lived a perfect life. And he was asking him, who can convict me of sin? If you say that I'm not who I say I am, tell me what I've done wrong. What sin have I done? And they did not have anything to say. They could not claim that he had sinned. He was sinless. He always told the truth, but they would not believe him. Verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. If a man loves God, he will hear and obey God's word. God the Son was speaking to these religious leaders, but they did not listen because they were not of God. It says that Jesus is the Word in the flesh. He's the Word. His life spoke volumes, showed who God really was. They were eyewitnesses looking at Jesus Christ, and they did not believe in him. We have the Word of God. Praise him for that. They had the Word of God right in front of them, and they did not believe. Verse 48, then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? So here they're disparaging him again. They're saying that he's a Samaritan. Samaritans were what they would call half-breeds. They weren't true full-blooded Jews. And they were considered to be enemies of the full-blooded Jews. So they were telling him that you're a Samaritan, that you're not full-blooded. It may be, I was studying somewhere where they may have been even, this is awful to even think or say, but they may have been thinking that his father was maybe a Roman, maybe a Roman soldier or something like that, that he wasn't pure-blooded because they didn't know who his father was. They also said that he had a demon. They were saying basically here that he was insane, that what he was saying was he was crazy, he was insane because of the things that he was telling them. They didn't believe. Verse 49, Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Jesus calmly told them that he did not have a demon, but that he was honoring his Father, and they were dishonoring him. So when you dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father. They were dishonoring the Son. He wasn't there to get honor to himself. He was there to give honor to his Father. His Father was going to give him honor. But that's not why he personally came. He was doing everything his Father asked him, to give honor to the Father, not to himself. Verse 50, "And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." Jesus did not seek his own glory, but God the Father seeks to give his Son glory and will judge those who do not give him glory. I can't remember the whole verse, but I know that y'all can help me with it. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it says, "Kiss the Son," and what's the rest of it? "Lest he be angry." And God is saying here, "Kiss the Son, this is my Son," or God the Father is going to judge you. You have a choice, and it all comes down to this choice. Are you going to accept his Son? Are you going to kiss the Son and take him in as your Savior? If not, God's going to judge you. Verse 51, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Jesus is saying that those who accept the Son as their Savior will never die spiritually. Spiritual death is separation from God forever in hell. And we've heard it here many times. If you're born twice, you only die once. If you're born physically and spiritually, you only die physically. If you're only born once, then you die twice. If you're only born physically but never reborn spiritually, you die physically and die spiritually. Dying spiritually means you will be away from God forever in a place called hell. So it's so important, and it all comes down to Jesus Christ the Son. What is your decision about Jesus Christ the Son? Who do you say that he is, and will you accept him? Verse 52, "Then the Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death.'" Religious leaders were still thinking physically. They said, "Abraham is dead, and the prophets," even though they kept the word of God. They were saying, who do you think you are? Abraham, our father, the father of our nation, he's dead. The prophets after him, they're dead. And you're saying, if anyone keeps my word, they shall never taste death. But they were thinking about physical death again, just like the bread and the water. They were thinking physically, not spiritually. Verse 53, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" The rulers asked Jesus who he thought he was, because Abraham, the father of their nation, was dead. But here Jesus is saying that anyone that keeps his word will never face death, spiritual death. Verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." So he's saying, I'm not here to honor myself. It is my Father who's honoring me. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's honoring his Son. So if God the Father is honoring the Son, they say that God the Father is their Father, then why aren't they accepting the Son? They did not accept his Son. And he's saying that he cannot be your God if you don't accept the Son, if you don't accept me. Verse 55, "You have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do not know him, but I do know him and keep his word." Jesus said that they obviously did not know God, but that he did. And if he said he didn't, he would be a liar like them. Jesus knows God and is obedient to him. This is obvious to us. Jesus is the eternal God. He's the second person of the Godhead, God the Son. So obviously, he and God and the Trinity and the Holy Spirit, they've known each other from eternity past into eternity future. So yes, he knows him. He's not going to say, I don't know him and agree with him. He does know him. If he said that he didn't, he would be a liar like these religious leaders. This is the verse that I want to focus on. I'll just briefly go over it and then come back to it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it was glad. And we're going to go over some examples of this in just a second. Verse 57, then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Leader said, he's not yet 50 years old. Abraham was believed to be alive about 2,000 years before Christ. And Jesus is saying that his father rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then Jesus said to him, you're not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. He didn't actually say that, but he did see him because he was in heaven looking down on him. But they're saying, you're not only 50 years old. This was 2,000 years ago. But we know that Jesus is eternal from eternity past. Verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Here Jesus used the name of God, I am, for himself. This is the same name that he used, that God the Father used when he was at the burning bush with Moses. Moses said, well, if I tell them that I'm supposed to lead them, who am I supposed to say that you are? Who sent me? Who gave me the ability, or who chose me to be the leader? And God said, tell them that I am sent you. Tell them that I am. I am is a word that the Jews would not even pronounce. They were scared to say it. And it's basically saying that he's the eternal one. Everything, he created everything. He did not have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He's the eternal one. And it's believed here in verse 58. A lot of people will tell you that Jesus never said that he was God in the Bible. If they ever tell you that, you can take them to this verse right here, verse 58. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He was telling them that he's the eternal one, that he was from eternity past, eternity future, and he was there with them at the present. And this is an obvious verse here, and there's many others that you can take them to, but he was claiming to be God. And verse 59 shows you that they knew exactly what he was saying. The religious leaders took up the stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So when he said, before Abraham was, I am, that basically in their mind he was saying, and he was saying, that I'm God. I am the eternal one. They picked up stones and started trying to throw it at him, but it wasn't his time to die, so he was able to escape. Okay, now if you'll just look at verse 56, and I just want to go over a few things with this. This one really touched me. I think it was Charles Spurgeon did a whole sermon on this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. So he was their father physically. He rejoiced to see my day. Talking about Jesus' day when Jesus would come. And he saw it and was glad. He saw it and was glad. So I just want to maybe go through a few of these things, but I don't want to forget to say this. So my question today is, when you see Jesus' day, He was looking 2,000 years into the future, Abraham was. And Jesus said, and so we know it's true, that he saw that day and he was glad. We're looking backwards 2,000 years. Are you glad about that day when he died on the cross for your sins? Are you glad that that happened? Are you glad that he was willing to do that? How do you accept that? And then also there may be another thing in the future when he comes again to get us. When he comes, he's going to come in the air and rapture us out. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to that? Then there's another day where he's coming back. The believers will be coming back with him to set up a kingdom here on earth. Are you looking forward to that day? That question is the most important question you can answer. Are you looking forward to that day? If you know him as your Savior, the obvious answer is yes. We rejoice. We have every Sunday morning that we look back 2,000 years ago to what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and we remember and we rejoice and we thank him for who he is and what he's done for us. Maybe not as often, but I think it's also important to look in the future. Think about that day when he's coming back to get us, when he's coming back to set up his kingdom. Are you looking forward to that day? And my question was, I was thinking, how did Abraham see his day? How did Abraham see Jesus' day? I think I'll just summarize it instead of reading all the verses. We're running out of time. But basically, I'm sure there's more than these two ways. These are the two ways that I thought of. I'll just read a few of these verses. This is in Genesis 14, 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the God Most High. King of Salem. Salem was a shortened name for what? Jerusalem. King of Jerusalem brought out bread and wine. This may have been more than just bread. I'm not sure, but this is the first instance of bread and wine, so that reminds us of the feast, the Lord's table. Brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. He was a priest. Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High. Aaron was not even born yet. This was not from the tribe of Levi. This was it doesn't have his beginning or his end. We don't see his parents. We don't see a lineage. So this is a type of Christ. This is a type of Christ that we know that God, Jesus is the king of Salem. Salem means peace. He's a king of peace, and he's the priest of God Most High in the order of Melchizedek. So this is one way where maybe Abraham saw Melchizedek, and it says that he gave tithes to him. So that's showing that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham because Abraham was paying tithes to him. So we see a lot of parallels here. King of Salem, king of Jerusalem. He was the priest of the Most High God. He had an eternal priesthood, didn't have a beginning or an end. And we are to give free will offerings to God, to Christ, because, of course, he's much greater than us. The other example that I can think of, and this one is an obvious one, I'm sure you're already thinking of it. How did Abraham see Jesus' day? And this is when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And he took him up to that mountain. And he was getting ready to thrust the knife through his chest. And God told him to stop. And in the thicket was a ram. This was the substitution for his son Isaac. He was a beloved son, long awaited for. Jesus was a beloved son, long awaited for. Both of them carried the wood. Isaac carried the wood up for the sacrifice. Jesus had the wood on his back and a cross. The father led the son. Abraham led his son up there. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before said, Father, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. But God led him to the cross. He was willing to go there. But praise God, he was willing, just like he provided that ram for the substitution for Isaac. God's son had to go to the cross. He had to die. But the reason that he went to that cross and stayed on that cross was he was the substitution for you and for me. He was willing to go and to die on that cross for you and for me. So maybe Abraham saw Jesus' day one of those ways, but it was it's a great testimony for Abraham. Abraham believed God. He believed God. Adam and Eve, they didn't. These religious leaders, they didn't. He believed God, and because of that faith, he was able to see into the future and see his sacrifice, Jesus Christ, and he accepted him. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you for that day. We thank you just like Abraham. He was able, 2,000 years in the past, before Jesus was even here, he was able to see that day and he rejoiced. We in the future, 2,000 years, 4,000 since Abraham, 2,000 since Jesus, we look back and we see that day. We can see in our mind's eye, in our hearts, we can see your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, going to the cross and dying on that cross for us. We see that day. We thank you for it. We rejoice because that sacrifice paid for our sins. And we thank you for it. We also look forward to the future. We look forward to that day that you're going to come back in the sky, in the rapture, and take us up. Or if it be by death, we look forward to that day when we're going to see you. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.